Indeed, it's a great pleasure and privilege for me to be with you tonight. And I do pray that as you have come, that each one will receive a blessing. We just want to give you a little of my background from, you know, who I am. And I, some of you, I know Jim, and I know a few others here, but the rest of you, I'm a more or less a stranger to me. Anyway, I'd just like to read one verse of scripture, and found in Revelation chapter 3, and I'll tell you why I read that. And it's a well-known verse, Revelation 3 and verse 20, and it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Well-known verse. Our Father, we thank you for the time we have spent here together, Lord, and what's gone before. And now as we have opened your word, we ask your blessing. And pray, Father, for everyone gathered here tonight. We thank you, O God and Father, that you are the God who sees the heart and knows the peculiar needs. And so we ask, Lord, you may have mercy upon us and meet these needs according to your riches and glory. And Father, we give thee all the glory and the praise as we ask these things and give thee our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I'm originally from Jamaica, and I wasn't born in a Christian family, so to speak, but I thank God for my mother, who was, I believe, a Christian, and my father was, a Chinese gentleman. You know, you know the map of the world, and you see China, and China is way over there, and then you look down towards America here, in the North American continent, and then you look towards Cuba, and underneath Cuba there's a little block of land named Jamaica. And my grandfather took my father from China way over there, and I don't know how they discovered Jamaica, but they brought him right down to Jamaica. And quite a few Chinese did that way back there in the early whatever. And they came to Jamaica, and they started small grocery stores. If you traveled in those days, they traveled in Jamaica, anywhere you go, up in the hills, down in the valleys, in the cities, in the towns, there would be a Chinese gentleman with a grocery store. And he'd be selling, groceries and whatever the people at that time needed. And they were like that. You know, in the Chinese culture, each person has three names. The surname, well, my father's name was Chang, so I'm a Chang. So you have the surname, and then they are given two other names, which has meaning. The father looks on his child, and I don't know what inspiration they have, but they give him two names after that. And so each one has three names, the surname and then two other names, which has meaning. And so many of these Chinese, they came down to Jamaica, and they started their work, their Chinese stores. There's this one gentleman, he came down, and he had this store, and then he put up a sign, above the store. And this was the name that he put there, and it says, "Mi Su Fat." Mi Su Fat, that's the name of the store, his store. And so he went into business, and he sold his goods, and went on and on. And over the years, he made his monies. And when he made quite a lot of monies, and it's surprising that these little stores, just by selling those things, they accumulate great wealth. And after many years, this man changed the sign over his store. And instead of Mi Su Fat, he changed it to Mi Fat Now, because he had a lot of monies. So they went like that. And so the Chinese like that, and my father was there, and he saw my mother, and he fell in love with my mother. Well, my mother, she had some relatives in New York City. I think she was a dentist. And she was there, And she went to New York City, and she was helping her uncle there with the dentistry. And she was up there for quite a while. And then, you know, my father wanted her to come back and to get married. And he wrote her a letter. And this is what he said. He said, "If you don't come back and marry me, I'm going to shoot myself." And so she was foolish enough to leave the job in New York City and come back to Jamaica and marry my father. And as a result, I'm one of well, my mother had 12 children. She raised 6 and she lost 6. She was from a family of one of 13. Her parents had 13. And in those days, they had them. And so he had one of these stores, and afterwards he had another job, and most of the time he was not at home, and mom was alone with the kids. But we thank God for her in that oftentimes in the evening time she'd gather us around her, and she'd take the Bible and she'd open it and she'd read from the Bible concerning the Lord Jesus. Not only that, but in those days the Bible was a textbook for schools. And we went to the school, and we went to a school that's connected to a Baptist church, and the Bible was a textbook. And one of the passages that one time of this the lessons that was being taught was found in John chapter 5, where the man was sick by the pool, and the Lord Jesus asked him, "So would you be made whole?" And said, "Sir, I have no man to help me into the water. And when I'm approaching the water, someone stepped down before me." So that was the Bible that they were being read and taught in the schools. And, as boys and girls all over, when that passage was read, afterwards the boys would tease another boy and say, "Call him Step It Down." Because, this man says, "No, a man stepped before me." So the Bible is a textbook, and we learned the Bible there. Then my mom, she took us to the Methodist Church, and then there's the Tabernacle Church, and although we've been to so many churches, I couldn't say that I was born again Christian until we went up to the city in Kingston, that is this, the city there in Kingston, and we went to a high school there. And there was a lady from Jamaica who was a missionary in China before the Chinese-Japanese War, way back there. And she left Jamaica and she went to China as a missionary. And because of the Chinese-Japanese War, she had to leave China, and she went to England. And there she met an Anglican minister, and they got married. And then they came down back to Jamaica. And she was burdened for the Chinese she was a missionary in China. So when she came to Jamaica, she was burdened for the Chinese in Jamaica. And so she would go around to the Chinese homes, and she would invite the members there to come to this mission, they call it, the Chinese mission. They rented a Moravian church. The Moravian had their service in the morning right up until 12 o'clock, and after 12 o'clock they would rent the church and they would have the Chinese mission. And she would gather all the Chinese that she would invite to the mission. And she also often came to our home, and we said, "Sure, we'll come, we'll visit you," but we never did. And she persisted. And then one day she came again. And we said, let us go and see what they're doing, and let us, so that this lady will stop coming to our home. And so that Sunday we went to church, and there's Sunday school, and we went to the Sunday school, and then afterwards there's the adult meeting, the big meeting, and we went off to the big meeting, and there was a gentleman there by the name of Royce, and he was the minister for that day, and he preached the word, and After this, he preached the word and gave the invitation. My heart was moved to do something about it, but I was very shy, and I backed away. And the meeting came to an end, so I walked on my way home. But on my way home, the Lord continued to speak to my heart, and I went into my room that afternoon, and I knelt down, and The verse of scripture that really touched my heart was this verse I read a while ago in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. And I knelt down, and as I was knelt down there and was talking to the Lord and inviting him to my heart, I heard footsteps coming. And I jumped up, you know, and walked as if nothing was happening, because I was so shy and didn't want them to know what I was doing. But I do believe that at that moment, that the Lord Jesus Christ heard my cry, and that he indeed forgave my sins, and he stepped into my life. Stepped into my life. The mission continued for a while, and Mr. and Mrs. Gallimore, that was the name of the lady and her husband, they were getting on in years, and so they decided to retire. And one Sunday, in the Sunday school, she said, I want to make an announcement. As from next Sunday, the superintendent will be Harry Chan. And I looked around, didn't realize she was talking about me. And, you know, so the responsibility came. And in those days, you know, the mission didn't have much money. And I remember that we used to go to homes and invite the boys and girls out to come to the mission. And I used to use my bicycle. I'd go to this home, and especially one home, and I put one on the seat, and two on the bars, and one on the handle, and one on the back. And I'd hold the bike, and I'd push them down the road, and carry them down to the Chinese mission for them to hear the gospel. And eventually after that, the army was selling out some station wagons, and we were able to purchase one, and the station wagon was used to go around to the homes and get the boys and girls to come to Sunday school. After some time, I felt so inadequate. Although we had a gospel team, and one of the older brothers was a preacher, Mr. Eli Ho, and we had a quartet singing, and we had that's a male quartet, and we had also a girls' trio, and we used to go into other churches and around the countryside, and we would present the gospel to many in the rural parts of Jamaica. Well, I felt so inadequate, and so I asked the Lord for help, and I wanted to go and study the Word of God, and where should I go? And I asked him, and I was reading in God's Word, you know, I was reading through the Bible, and the portion that I was reading at that time came in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. And the portion that opened my eyes is that two of them were on their way to Emmaus. So I applied to Emmaus. And they accepted me. And this was the Emmaus in Toronto. And so the Lord opened the way after much prayer and looking to him for the funds to go there, because we didn't have much funds. He provided the necessary things, and we landed in Toronto, the Emmaus Bible School there in Harcourt Avenue. And we were there for 1 year, and then it was announced that the schools... you had one in Chicago as well, and one in Toronto, and they'll be amalgamated together, and they have bought a old YMCA building in Oak Park. And so these two schools came together. We had to move from Toronto down to Oak Park in the Chicago area, Illinois area there. And so we went to Emmaus for 3 years, and after you graduated, we went back to Jamaica, and we sought the Lord's face as to what we should do. And in Jamaica, there are quite a few who were moved by the Spirit of God to do full-time work. And they're going to the rural parts, and they will try to start a work and to continue there. But it was so difficult. The support was practically nil. But those there servants of God who went, you know, heard a voice and went down there, I don't know much. So many of them left the field. And so when the challenge came for us to go to the field in Jamaica, we said we will not go, because it's so difficult. The Lord would have to actually lift us up and put us out there if he wanted us to do that. Because of the difficulty, we saw so many of the old-time servants coming back from the field and coming back to and doing secular work in Kingston, which is a city, and another part of Jamaica. And so it was like that until one day the call came. This brother had started a work that way down there in on one of the parishes in Jamaica, and he was leaving the work, and he was coming to the States, and so he wanted someone to take over from him. And so he approached us, and we said, okay, we'll pray about it. And so he invited us to go down to see what was being done down there, and we decided to go with family. At the time we had my wife and children, three children. We had a boy and two girls, and we were climbing a steep mountain, and there's a big old tanker in front of us, and we tried to pass the tanker, and another car came and smashed us, and we had to turn back to Kingston. We didn't reach the destination. And the following, after some time, we started out again and went back down, and we saw the work, and he said, this is what it is. And so we felt that we'd pray about it, and we did pray about it. And you know, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word is you can find his will here for you. And so we were reading in Ezekiel, and the Spirit of God pointed out this verse to me in Ezekiel. It says, son of man, set your face toward the south field. And that was the name of the little town where the work was being held, Southfield, St. Elizabeth, Jamaica. And the word of God in Ezekiel says, son of man, set your face towards the Southfield. And that was the motivation, the motivated word that stirred our hearts and helped us to go forward and to take up the challenge. And whether we were supported or not, to go out there, we met with the elders. In those days, the elders, they wouldn't back you, say, well, we are going to give you $100 a month or not. They said, no, you go out there, prove yourself, and when you prove yourself, then we shall see what we can do. And so we went on that promise. And, the Lord blessed us. We spent 14 years out there. We were in a little zinc shed, about 30 by 24, and that's where the meetings were kept. And afterwards, we were able to lay the foundation on a piece of land, 3/4 acres of land there, and we were able to build a church. And then the place where we were living was on 7 acres, and we were able, under the hand of the Lord, we were able to purchase that for a camp. And so we built a church, we had a camp, Bethel Bible Camp, and Bethel Gospel Chapel. And we were there ministering the word, and then one day we got a call. A brother from here in Buffalo, inner city, Brother Billups, Arthur Billups, he came down to one of our camps, and he asked us to come up and to help him in the inner city. And we, after some time before we got our visas, we came up there, and we spent 2 years with him there. But when we came, because of his health, he had to go to Florida. And then a brother who was left behind, Brother Arthur McLean, he was the one in charge of the work there in the inner city. And we were with them for a couple of years. But something happened in the ministry there, and we left. And so we've been seeking to do the Lord's work as from then. And we thank God that he has kept us and up until now. And we praise God for the privilege we've had of ministering the word of God and seeking to touch lives, as we have been on the pathway of life. Tonight, our time is nearly gone. I'd just like to continue to read the passage we mentioned where the verse is found in Revelation chapter 3, and we read from verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, he says, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, Anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. I am sure the Lord has blessed our hearts the reading of his word. You know, some Bible students say that this predicts is a picture of the church today, our time, the time in which we live. And beloved, as we look out on the world scene today, and as we read in the Gospels that the Lord Jesus Christ is telling and predicting the things that will come to pass, there shall be earthquakes and famines and floods and pestilence, and we see, never, I don't believe there have been before as they are today, and that's indeed a wonderful sign of his coming again. And he says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. And here we find that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to this church, and he says, you know, the one, he himself said, I am the Amen. He is he's the final word, beloved. He's the one who indeed in him and through him all things consist, are held together. And he says he's a faithful and true witness. Beloved, in these dark days we need to be like that. Faithful and true. You know, in that glorious day when he shall come again, we shall hear him saying, well done, good and successful servant. No, it will be well done, good and faithful servant in that coming day. And so he wants us in these days to be faithful and to be true. You know, we can be faithful, but we may not be true. To be true, it must be in accordance with the word of God. And there are many today who are faithful, but they are not true. But he is the faithful and true witness, and he is the beginning of the creation of God. You know, some say that this was the first being that God created, the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not so. He's the one who started, who made all things. He's the one who is the creator himself. And so he spoke to this church here and he said, I know your works. I know you're working hard. You know, you're doing your best, but you say you're neither cold nor hot. I would have you cold or hot. Then because you're lukewarm, it says, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods and have needeth nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee. You know, this is the great counselor. He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. You know, in order to prove prove that a piece of metal is gold, you see, some people do sometimes, they have a gold piece, what do? They put it between their teeth and they clamp it to see whether it's gold. But the real proof of gold is to put it through the fire. When you put it through the fire, beloved, if it's real gold, it will stand the test of the fire. And it will come out as pure gold. And so, he says, buy of me white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. Oh, you know, today, our eyes seem to be, we can't seem to see our focus on the those around us. Those who are still dead in trespasses and in sins. I think of some of my family were still, you know, we tried to show them the way over the years. And still they have hardened their necks and hardened their hearts and stiffened their necks. And they're still there in the world. And we do pray, God, that the Spirit of God may soon and very soon break those stony hearts and bring them to the place where they shall bow to the claims of Christ and experience the joy of salvation that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we need some eyesalve, and someone has said that eyesalve is only the blessed Holy Spirit, which the Lord has promised to the disciples. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the utmost parts of the earth. And today we need that power in our hearts and lives in order to do, to be the true and faithful witness, in order to do His will, and to see that as we go forth, holding forth the word of life, to see the results in that many will come to trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And verse 20 tells us that to this church, He says, he's outside the door. He's outside the door. You know, someone that, some years ago, there was a painting of this very verse. And there was a door. And there was the person knocking at the door. And someone looked at the picture and says, "Something is wrong here." And he said, "What? Why do you say that?" He said, "Well, there isn't a latch on the outside. There isn't a latch on the outside." And he said, "That's quite true. You see, according to this this door, the latch is on the inside." And so, in order for the door to open, the person on the inside has to open the door. And so the Lord Jesus Christ stands out there, and someone else has painted a picture of Him as He stands up outside the door, and it's night, and it's in the early morning, and the dew has fallen, and it's here, touched with dew, and it's, you know, damp, and He's standing out there, and He's knocking, and He wants to come in, you know. The picture that we have of the Lord Jesus Christ that is here is at His shoulder length. You know, there was once heard a story. A young man was failing in his school work, you know, and his dad said to him, "Son, if you pull up your socks and you graduate, I'll give you a car." And so that incentive, you know, the guy got buckled down and started to study, and he just started to get B's and A's, and he graduated. And then he brought the diploma to his dad and said, "Dad, look at this." And dad says, "Okay, I'll get you a car." But the boy said, "Dad, how about giving me a four-wheel truck instead?" And so the dad said, "I'll consider that." And so he considered a while and came back to the boy and he says, "I'll give you a four-wheel truck on one condition, that you cut your hair." You know, he had his hair long down and passing his shoulders. And said, "I give you one condition, and give you the four-wheel truck if you cut your hair." The boy says, "Dad, I'll consider it." And so the boy went to consider it, and he met his uncle John, and said, "Uncle John, I want a four-wheel truck, and Dad says you'd give me a four-wheel truck if I cut my hair. But you see, Uncle John, I want to be like Jesus. Jesus had long hair. Then Uncle John said to him, "If you really go further in the Gospels, you'll find that Jesus walked all the way. He never drove, He walked all the way." So you know, that kind of, I mean, I don't know what the decision was. Anyway, we thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, and the one, He stands at the door, and he wants to come in. Beloved, this verse is used in the Gospel, and that was the verse that touched my heart. But beloved, actually, it's a verse for the church. It's a verse of the church, and that's the picture of today, that the Lord Jesus Christ is standing outside the door of the hearts of the church, and He wants to come in so that He might infuse every being inside and give them that power to hold forth the word of life to those who are dead in trespasses and sins. And to indeed, you know, the disciples, when it happened to them, they burst the doors open and they went out into the streets of Jerusalem and they preached. And the first preaching of Peter and the rest of them, 3,000 souls were saved. And after that, in Acts it tells us that 5,000 souls were saved and many others were added. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, He stands here and He wants to give us the power so that we might be indeed blessed and used. I wonder if we could sing a hymn in closing.